So you can see why the state of California is very happy to have a great partner in our largest county, LA County Department of Public Health. It's been great to work with them on a whole variety of things because the state is doing very similar things statewide, and they've been a great partner and a leader, and I think will provide a lot of resources for other health departments that are just still getting started in their climate change work. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and we've heard about engaging and training the health workforce. You heard a little bit about how we're using climate data and how important that is. I'm going to take us out into the public sphere. How do we actually engage the public around climate change, and how can we use health framing to do that, and what do we need to learn to get really good at doing that? So I'm going to talk about a specific pilot project or a focus group project that we did in 2013. I have nothing to disclose financial conflict-wise, but I do want to disclose that as of 2 weeks ago, after 6 years of being the lead climate and health policy person at the State Health Department in California, I have just left that department. So I am speaking on behalf of my colleague, Brooke Sommerfeld, who couldn't be here today. And I'm going to be walking through a focus group report that came about because we were really thinking long and hard about how do we use the expertise that public health has in our health communications work across all the different public health programs that have done such an excellent job of understanding controversial and complex issues and finding ways to communicate them and engage diverse populations so that those populations can understand those issues and have options and know what actions they can take. And this came about because we were looking at a lot of the polling data in California and nationwide on public opinion on climate change. But why is it so important that we actually engage the public? Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but the National Academy of Science actually took a look at this in a workshop they did in 2011 on climate, educating the public of the United States on climate change. And the science is clear, the science is very available, but the nation and the public seems really unprepared or unwilling to respond effectively to climate change, due partly to the lack of public understanding of climate change and the opportunities that exist for effective responses. It's a really good workshop report if you want to take a look at it. Likewise, there's some legislation that Lois Capps, a representative from California, has put forward 2 years now called the Climate Change and Public Health Protection Act, which actually calls out the need for public education, that each and every American needs to learn about the impacts of climate change in our health. And just yesterday, the President's Office of Council of Environmental Quality released a presidential task force on climate preparedness and resilience, which calls out a new initiative for public education for climate literacy. So I think it's evident that we have a large job to do to educate and engage and make this knowledge accessible and actionable by our public, and that involves many diverse segments of the public. So we think this is a very important core competency area where public health can make a huge contribution if we can figure out actually how to bring our skills and expertise into this arena. So this particular project, we wanted to do focus groups, and so we generated some research questions, and I'll tell you a little bit about the population that we involved. We wanted to understand the values and beliefs of folks that are involved in the health, in promoting the health of their community. We wanted to understand their awareness of climate change and their level of concern on climate change. We wanted to know what they knew about existing activities around the state of California to take action on climate change, specifically in the mitigation realm, which is all the activities the state is involved in reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. And we really wanted to understand how should we be communicating to folks. So we asked them, what should we do? What do you know about your community that we need to be thinking about as we design these? We conducted 6 focus groups in 3 regions of the state, the Bay Area, Los Angeles, and Fresno in the Central Valley. Have a lot of diversity in those regions. We did 3 of those focus groups in English and 3 in Spanish. We went through 2 institutional review boards for approval, and our partners in this project were UC Davis and a qualitative research consulting firm called Harder & Company. Our target population was community health leaders. Why did we pick community health leaders? We could have just picked the public. Well, the public is a large, diverse area, and we wanted to really understand in our core constituency, how can we understand climate change in the light of the experiences and perceptions of people that are committed to the health of their community, even though they may not know anything about climate change. So we wanted to understand why were they involved in efforts to promote the health in their community? What are the underlying principles and values in that? We wanted to recruit people that were not necessarily professionally involved in public health or a medical job. We had Spanish and English speakers. We tried to screen people out that said they were very knowledgeable about climate change. And we thought that they would be opinion leaders, not necessarily high-level opinion leaders, but grassroots, neighborhood, school-based, neighborhood councils, that kind of opinion leaders, about their work for the health of their community. And in particular, one of the things we learned from the polling in California, this sample actually happens to be something that Liz helped us out with, which was a Sierra Club and National Council of La Raza poll nationally in 2012. But polling in California shows that ethnic communities report in these surveys a much higher level of concern about climate change, think that climate change is happening now, so there's not as many deniers, at least in terms of the respondents to these polls, and that they want to see government doing something about it. And that's pretty stable now over the last 5 or 6 years in California, that Latinos, Black, and Asian respondents to these surveys, and in California we do surveys in 5 languages, LA just did a survey in 13 languages. So we're really capturing the diversity. There's something going on in these communities where there's a lot of buildup of concern, and we need to understand that better, which is what these focus groups were trying to help us do. Obviously, this isn't a quantitatively statistically representative sample, but we worked really hard in our recruitment efforts to get a lot of diversity. And in terms of ethnicity and race, we did. Education level, very diverse, especially in the Spanish-speaking population. We had people that had 6th grade education in Mexico and nothing beyond that. So we had a pretty diverse population, including in political orientation for California. So focus groups, for any of you who have done them, are really fascinating, and I consider them to be a privilege to actually listen to regular people talk about something that we bring to them that we think is important, and really hear them struggle with, like, they may have not have formed opinions about the things we asked them about. In this case, that was actually true. So we wanted to look at the lens of community health workers. What is it about community health workers that kind of gives them their perspective and their vantage on their community and how communities work and how to educate them and how to bring about change? We wanted to understand their motivation for community engagement and working on health issues. What motivates you to do that? Because that will be very important as we move into climate change work. We definitely wanted to understand their awareness and concerns about climate change, and then we asked them a whole series of information about what do you know about climate change going on in your community, what do you think should be going on, and how should we do that work. So we utilized these focus groups to give us a lot of information. The lens or vantage point of community health workers means that they have a personal commitment to the health of their communities, and they look at things that way, like why do things work the way they do? Why don't people some people have good health and others do? And they work off of their experiential knowledge. So they were constantly trying to relate the questions we gave them about something they may not have known a lot about to the things they did know about. So they're constantly kind of transitioning their knowledge and their experiential work in their communities to this new topic area. And equity came across pretty clearly, strongly in all of the focus groups. So I'm just going to read a few of the quotes on these slides. I have uploaded the entire focus group report, which is very rich in quotes and in different perspectives from different people. So it's uploaded as a handout to this session. I'm only going to read a few of these, but just to give you a flavor of people's reactions. So here's one. I live in South Central LA, where there are a lot of factories nearby. If you walk near them, you'll automatically start coughing, and the area is surrounded by a bunch of schools. This really worries me. So when asking about the values and beliefs that brought them to become a health advocate or a community health lay community health leader, they expressed a lot of really heartfelt things about what values drive them to do this work. If I want to be hopeful, and I want to have a hopeful future for children, both mine and others, then I better be doing something to improve my health and that of my family and of my community. So there's a deep kind of commitment there in a lot of the folks that we recruited to that value system and that motivation. When we actually turn to climate change, this was, again, a population that we had screened out, people that were knowledgeable about climate change. We did not want to hear from those people. People were kind of grasping at what they thought was really connected to climate change. So they don't have access to these data and maps and trainings. So they were like really struggling a little bit. But they came up with these things: extreme weather of all sorts, heat, storms, floods, all kinds of extreme weather. There seems to be a lot more of that. Pollution, all sorts, with air pollution leading the way, and increased vulnerability. So that if people are vulnerable now, I think climate change is going to make that worse. That's kind of the connections they were making, and I'll just read one of these. So right now we're seeing extremely hot weather. We shouldn't be at 100 degrees so much. The weather is affecting us a lot. How hot will it be for our children? Meaning our children in the future, going forward, because that's where they see climate change residing. What about concern? The polls show us that there were a lot of concerns, but focus groups give you the opportunity to talk to real people in a little bit more depth and say, what's behind that polling answer, yes or no? So I'm personally very concerned about these disasters. I close my eyes, and I see the children in the future, and I see me as an old woman in my community, and I don't think we'll be able to handle it. The level of concern as we went through the focus groups grew, as people heard one another talking about this topic and started to really understand what we, the researchers, were actually asking them about. What did they know about what California and their communities, their neighborhoods, their local community where they think about things, are doing about climate change? Honestly, they did not know very much. We have planning going on all over the state at the city, county, regional level. This is not connecting with these people. They didn't really know. So what they did was they drew on their experiential knowledge, and they tried to connect it. Well, I know we're doing some environmental things. Is that related to climate change? Because they really weren't sure. And a lot of it actually is, if you think about it. So waste reduction, like having an initiative from San Francisco's plastic bag ban, I don't know if that's dealing with climate change, but it is helping the environment, isn't it? So we had a lot of questioning, and of course we weren't doing a workshop and answering questions, we just listened. And, you know, people were able to identify some things that they knew were going on, like tree planting, and that would be good because it would shade people and it would be cooler. And then we asked, well, why do you think people don't know more about, you know, things that are going on? And they came up with these answers: inadequate media coverage, that there is media coverage, but it's episodic, and it doesn't really give people the whole story, and so it's like a snapshot that then fades, and it doesn't stay in the present and help people really understand issues. Politicization of climate change, people felt, was a real barrier to people understanding what's really going on with climate change, because it's kind of like being buffeted about with hearing different attitudes and different things from people, including in the media and from political leaders. Institutional inaction, even though from the state vantage point I think California is doing a lot, the perception of this group was that there was not nearly enough being done and people needed to be out there doing more. And lack of community level education. At one point they turned to us, you know, focus group, you sit in the back and you listen. They turned to us and they said, well, if this is so important, why are you here doing this instead of coming and doing a workshop? So we said, well, we'll do a workshop later. And then addressing ideas for why people are not expressing concern or not engaged, some of the ideas they gave us. Lack of engagement was desensitization. It's like too many bad news and people kind of turn off. Or doubt and denial, like, is this really true? One person said yes, one person said no, forget it. Lack of sense of immediacy, that sometimes we say this is really important and concerned, and then there's like nothing for a long time. And so they don't get that sense of kind of a continuous message. Feeling of anxiety, this topic makes me anxious. And sometimes people withdraw when they feel that way. And competing needs. If you have day-to-day needs and climate change is out here, far away, long in the future, your day-to-day needs are going to take precedence. So then we asked them what they thought we should do. What kinds of things would be effective? So they said, and I have to point out that the Spanish language group and the English language groups really did have some different results. The Spanish language groups had a lot of health promoters in them, and they have a model of how they do community education. They are responsible for communicating things to their community, and they take that pretty seriously. So education, engagement, give people specific action steps, and smart growth, walkable, bikeable communities, livable communities, and transportation definitely came up as a theme. So these are, again, just some quotes. You must organize the community first. Get them educated so they can take action, or there is nothing. So again, more ideas where people struggled with this a little bit, like what should we really do in terms of educating, communicating, and training our communities? In one sentence, would you be able to relate public health to climate change directly? I can't make that connection. I'm not understanding. This is a complex area, and we need to find really creative and accessible ways, and it's going to take some work and many more people working in this area. One person even says, I don't see how taking a bus is better. Isn't a bus more pollution? So people's perception is not like our perception many times, and we need to understand that and work with it. So the ideas concretely that they gave us with the, first of all, we were looking at communications messages. They say if you don't educate the community, messages is not going to really have traction. So you need to be out there doing workshops and train the trainers and really doing capacity building that's immediate, action-oriented, personal, local, personal, positive and graphic, visual, stories, not data, maybe maps later. You'll see that when you get into your neighborhoods. Training and make it really interactive and educational materials that is, again, very interactive and starts with the audience. So the insights I'd say, summarizing the focus groups, is that the lay focus group participants came up with really very similar recommendations and needs to some of the experts doing climate education and climate communication. Why aren't people engaging? The same reasons they gave us. And what should be emphasized? Specific action steps. Get children involved. That came up over and over again. That was the resounding feeling of the Latino focus groups, is our children need to be involved. We need to be involved as parents because of our children. The future of children in the Latino focus groups is just off the map. We need to increase community awareness and engagement. And that health is it. Finally, we got back to health, the health framing. People did feel at the end, yes, health is the way to do this. Health will help us erase some of these things and really reach people on this side. Organize and mobilize the community and get them involved. And again, back to kind of walkable, you know, something that's good for our community at the same time it's good for climate change. So that's the focus group report, and hopefully we'll have time at the end for questions and discussion.